still say nothing to no one, no how, or we bust and never crack a smile, or flinch or cry for nobody.
After nearly a half century of research, Dave has a few things to say. On his mind, and you should call in and share what's on yours. Without further ado, here's Dave Kari. Everybody knows that the world's
full of stupid people. All right. Hello there, folks. This is Dave Kari, and you're listening to the Dave Kari Call-In Show. And let's just for making this happen, because it's not easy. It's not easy to do this stuff. So thank you, everybody. You know who you are, and I appreciate it, and everybody does, and we have a great lineup on SFR, as many of you know. And let's see what's happening today. After this show, Jim Fetzer is piped in from RBN for 2 hours. And then right after that, Zach, Logos Revealed, is on for 2 hours. And then there's just a mix of 1 hour before we get into Davis Lerman for 3 hours. And then Nick, Night Nation Review, that brings us into Wednesday. Nick does, and it looks like Nick ends at 2, if I'm correct. So Nick goes from 11 to 2, so he goes 3 hours as well, which is pretty cool. And then, of course, I'm not going to go through the whole schedule, but check it out. We had some trouble today with Daniel on Ballbusters. Something happened to his system. The whole thing just went haywire, and he had never seen anything like that before, and it happened, and don't know why, but he got knocked out like halfway through his show, and he'll be back tomorrow providing the same thing doesn't happen, whatever it was, whatever cause that mishap, and hopefully it won't, but something did happen, and you never know with the thing that we're dealing with, right? So we just don't know what they can do and what's going to happen, and you know, what lengths they will go to interrupt. Obviously, we know what lengths they'll go to, because we see it all the time. Look at the Jews media. They go to many lengths to make sure that this information doesn't get out. And if you look at, for example, I never watched a Candace Owens show before or interview. And I did last night, the first time I did, and it was another person fired for criticizing Israel. Anyway, she's almost there, right? And her guest is almost there as well. This is Brianna Joy Gray. Both black ladies, both very smart. I watched the whole thing. It was almost 41 minutes. And at about 30 minutes in, they brought up the Holocaust, but not like that. They brought up the Holocaust, and they're both, you know, talking about it like it's real. And that's what I meant. They're almost there. So that's an issue, right? Because, and I think at least Candace might get there. She's got almost 2 million subscribers on YouTube, and she's not banned off YouTube yet. That's probably coming. I know, don't give them any ideas. You're not giving them any ideas. They're going to do what they do. And it's a shame when you hear two grown women who are so ignorant about this topic that all they have to do is take that one next step and learn that the Holocaust is the whole hoax. And that's what allows these organisms, these kikes, to literally get away with genocide. It's excused because they're the eternal victims. So I hope they get there, because if they do, I think they will, because if they do get there, then this thing is going to crumble a lot faster than we might all imagine. So let's do our best. I actually emailed that that reporter from The Hill who got fired. She got fired for rolling her eyes, or I watched that clip. It was like she was rolling her eyes, or just like gave an exhausted look when a relative of one of the hostages, so-called hostages, because I don't know, I wasn't there, I didn't see it happen, in Israel, was saying something, you know, off topic, like something like, oh, I wish you would believe me because I am a woman, something stupid like that. So the lady, like, maybe shook her head a little bit, this black reporter, well, ex-reporter, Hill reporter. Too bad for The Hill, because she was good. She is good. So I emailed her, and I told her, let me see. What did I say? I will tell you. I emailed her last night. I said, hi, Brianna. I just watched the interview with Candace and really enjoyed it. It was my first Candace interview. I believe you could benefit from a book if you are interested. Please let me know and I will explain why. Thanks for being you. And I haven't heard back, but that doesn't mean anything because she's very busy, because there are, it's amazing, there are folks who are interviewing her. So yeah, this is going to break. I'm sure it will. Just don't know when, but we want it to happen fast, right? We want them to understand that a lot of people know about them and they are on to them, and they're going to have to amend their behavior. And maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not a good thing, because we know what they're like intrinsically. So if they amend their behavior and try to act human, then we know it's just an act. So they probably will not be able to amend their behavior. I doubt they will. So even if they own the entire U.S. Congress, oh wait, they do, right. If something happens that, you know, Massey from Kentucky gains a couple of allies, the guy who just talked about the AIPAC guys that everybody has on Congress, which of course this is, it's amazing because this is like old news. This has been known for decades. So it's just now being introduced to the sleepwalkers. So the sleepwalkers are going, wow, you believe that? Every congressman, every Republican congressman has an AIPAC guy who tells him what to do for Israel. Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir. That news was broken decades ago when you were still asleep. But are you're 85 now, right? Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, so you were like, you know, in your 50s, 40s or 50s when that news came out, but I guess you missed it, right? Yeah, I never saw it in the New York Post or you know, the New York Times. Yeah, yep, that's right, sir. Thank you. Have a nice life. So, yes, that is good, what's happening. It's very good. I want to talk about that, actually. And we might be joined, it's not definite, but we might be joined by my buddy Lucas Gage later on, who just returned from the failed AFPAC conference in Detroit. And he drove out there from New Jersey to Detroit and drove back 9 hours each way. And I want to see what he has to say about it, what happened there. And that would be good if he could join us. If not, then maybe another day. But he's kind of tired from the drive, although he's probably still twittering every 2 seconds. I'm not going to look at it. I'm just guessing. So, and I am just busting his balls, but he deserves it. So before we get into the topic of which everybody should already know, of how organized international Jews control this country. Before we do that, there is a caller here who's a regular SFR listener, and I don't want to go into a long session talking about AIPAC before I bring this listener in and see if she has a question. Elizabeth, do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I'm thrilled you're discussing this because I talked on another show. I don't think it was your show. I think it was a Davis show about how, you know, the feasibility, and they agreed it's very feasible. We can get rid of Congress and Senate and put just big things into a referendum, big, you know, ideas to a referendum. And I'm so glad you're discussing it. Thank you for taking my call. So what, in your opinion, what would the beginning steps be, and how long would it take for us to just get rid of Congress and Senate? Because they're all bought off, just ridiculously bought off, sir.
Yeah, to like delete Congress?
Yeah, and Senate.
I mean, that's part of the, you know, part of the government. They're not going to delete themselves. How are you going to delete them?
Well, I mean, get rid and vote them out. Just I guess it was Davis and Giuseppe I talked to a week or two ago about it, and they said it was very feasible that we would just put all, you know, laws and ideas to a referendum to the people. But of course, our voting is so corrupt because, and I'm kind of scared, even though Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, who does a great job at what she does. Not that I'm a huge Trump fan. I'm kind of on the fence about that. But she's going to hire an army of 10,000 people to check and double check the voting booths in November. And so I think I kind of lost my topic here. So if we could just get rid of Congress and Senate, it's possible. And then we would have a much better country because then no one would be bought off. Or I guess there still would be behind the scenes some people, but that would be minimal, right?
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think, how do we overthrow our government? This is what I don't understand, Dave. How do we
Well, you can't just, you know, erase one of the parts of the government. That's not, you know, that's not reasonable.
Well, those two guys, your employees and good buddies, said it was possible to. Well, they said it was possible to conduct our country without Congress and Senate. That was, I don't want to misquote them, but and it is if you think about it.
Well, anything's possible, but I don't think it's feasible.
But Dave, what would be the first step in overthrowing our country. I mean, if we do it like January 6th ended up ridiculous and just so unfair. And God bless Ashley Babbitt, that poor woman. But how does one get to overthrow the government without getting in jail?
I don't know.
Come on, Dave.
I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, some people are talking about refusing to pay their income tax. I don't make enough money to pay income tax, so it doesn't affect me. But,
right.
That would be one step, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff on the internet about maybe there's like a, you know, one of those dummy books, right? Like how to overthrow the government. Yeah, there might be. Yeah, there
the
might
yellow,
be.
Yeah, the yellow and black.
Yeah, the yellow. Books. Yes, yes. So, you know, Revolutions for Dummies.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So there probably is, you know, there's probably ways that people have written about and discussed about how to overthrow a government. I really haven't studied it that much.
But you're for it. Let me ask you, Mr. Gary, you're for it, right? You would love to overthrowing our government. It sucks the way it is.
Well, it's not working.
Yeah, not working fairly.
Yeah, it's not working. It's working for the Jews. It's not working for us. And it's working for what the Jews want. But it's not working for us.
No. And that's so unfair. And like you said, the normies, like only like maybe 2% of our country realize that this is Jewish run. We are just the Jewish, you know, pawns.
Well, if 2%, it's probably less.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
I bet so.
If you think about the people that you meet out there.
Yes, sir.
In the field, they don't know anything. So, yes, it's a sad state of affairs for knowledge.
Well, you're sure kind to take my call.
Thank you.
It looks like it's going to be a great show.
I hope so. Let's see.
I'm a little on the, got to say, and then I'll get it and let somebody else talk. But I'm a little on the fence about that Lucas Gage. And I'm telling you, I mentioned him, I guess, to on the Davis show. But do the math. I mean, I live out here in California where, and you said, if you were to say somebody, oh, there's somebody that went every summer when he was growing up to filmmaking camp, you'd immediately think Jew. And that's on his Wikipedia, that every summer when he was a boy, he went to filmmaking camp.
Oh, I never looked at his Wikipedia.
Yeah, that kind of raises a flag with me, Dave.
I don't think he's a Jew. Yeah. I don't think he's a Jew.
What Gentile can you name on this earth that every summer when they were a boy, their parents said, well, let's send you to filmmaking camp? The Jews do.
Maybe you have that him confused with another, because there is another Lucas Gage. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I think you, and it's with a K, Lucas Gage.
K. Oh no, it's K's name. You mean Lucas
Gage? Yeah. So Gage, this other Gage, was born in San Diego. And he went to film camp every summer. So that's not this other guy.
Oh, you have my absolute apology.
It doesn't matter. He changed his name. He was Angelo John Gage, and then he changed his name to Lucas Gage because he wanted to, develop a new persona, because he didn't want to attack the Jew like he did before, and he wanted to start fresh, and then he found out that that didn't work because the Jew was the same. And so
I love the name Angelo. I think he's crazy to dump that.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll change it back. I'll have a talk with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, well, that's it. So I'm not going to take any calls for a while, so I'm going to start giving the lesson for today.
Well, I bet it's great. Okay, I'm going to have to download it later because I don't have enough data. Okay. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you,
bye.
Elizabeth.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, that was Elizabeth, and she has left the studio on her own accord. Okay, so let's get into this. An article in The Guardian, so that's that UK paper, that's Guardian's been around for a long time. I think it's been around since the 1800s. But let's just find out. That's what's cool about the internet. You can literally find out anything whenever you want. As long as your internet's working, right? Okay, so let's see. The Guardian. Yeah, it was founded in 1821. So, there you go. 1821, so that's over 200 years old. That is impressive. And, of course, it's garbage. But what would we expect, right? So, let's take a look at this Guardian story from May 20th. So, today is, what, June 18th? So, less than a month ago. There's a congressman in New York. Actually, let's go to this first one, which was from April, right? April 22nd, so about 2 months ago. And then we'll get to the other one. Pro-Israel U.S. groups. So pro-Israel, which means that's anti-American. Pro-Israel U.S. groups plan $100 million effort to unseat progressives over Gaza. Let's just dwell on that for a moment. $100 million. Pro-Israel, anti-American groups in the United States. Well, they're fronts for, obviously, the Jew, organized international Jewry. $100 million effort to unseat progressives over Gaza. AIPAC and other groups targeting candidates critical of Israel's war in Gaza. Of course, it's not a war, right? We know that. But progressives are not going down without a fight. So let's just jump to AIPAC. That's the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. That vicious group was founded the same year that they killed Kennedy, in January. It's a 501c4. I believe a 501c4 is a nonprofit that obviously doesn't pay taxes. So in other words, we're footing the bill for these things, if you pay your taxes. And I think that a 501c4 does not need to reveal who their donors are. So, they're headquartered in, guess, Washington, D.C. The president is Betsy Burns Korn, with a K. The chairman is Mort Fridman. And the CEO is Howard Kaur, all Jew. About 400 employees, this is what they say. 60 volunteers. Their revenue is about $78 million in 2014. So 10 years ago, their revenue was $78 million. This year, they're going to spend $100 million. Figure that out. The revenue was $78 million 10 years ago. Their expenses were $69 million 10 years ago. I guess they're taking out a lot of ads and bribing a lot of public officials. So this is APEC. What has to happen, obviously, and it will happen, is APEC needs to be classified as a foreign agent. And there is a law for that. And it was attempted, I think it's the Foreign Agent Registration Act. Yeah, it is. Foreign Agent Registration Act, FARA. That was created in, it looks like 1938. U.S. law imposes public disclosure obligations on persons representing foreign interests. Yeah, it's so freaking obvious, but they haven't been able to do it because they own the people who make those laws. It requires foreign agents defined as individuals or entities engaged in domestic lobbying or advocacy for foreign governments, organizations, or persons to register with the Department of Justice. Yeah. Okay, so obviously these scumbags need to register as a foreign agent. But they're not gonna, because they're Jews. And they own all of your politicians, except for maybe a few. Here, the American Zionist Council was reorganized as APEC. We already know what APEC means. In 1988, former Senator William Fulbright and former senior CIA official Victor Marchetti unsuccessfully petitioned the Department of Justice. What a joke that is. You can't even say it seriously. To register the lobby under the act. So they tried, right? And they failed. You want to guess how they failed? Yep. Jews, the 2005 case, U.S. v. Franklin, Rosen, and Weissman against the U.S. Department of Defense employee, or against U.S. Department of Defense employee Larry Franklin, APEC policy director Stephen Rosen, and APEC senior Iran analyst Keith Weissman raised the possibility that APEC would come under greater scrutiny by the Department of Justice. While Franklin pleaded guilty to passing government secrets to the two Jews, Rosen and Weissman, as well as to an Israeli government official, the cases against Rosen and Weissman were dismissed, and no actions against APEC were instituted. How about that? Look what they're doing to those January 6 guys. Right? And look what they do to the Jews. Nothing. Department of Justice. This is a topic for another show, the Lawrence Franklin espionage scandal. We need to find out about that in depth. Really, the best way to find out about this stuff is to see if someone has written a book about it. But it doesn't look like that's the case. Because why would somebody write a book about Jewish power? Who would print it? Oh, yeah, Money Tree Publishing. So let's get back to the article about the pro-Israel U.S. groups plan a $100 million effort to unseat progressives over Gaza. Pro-Israel groups are pumping millions into this year's heated congressional races. They could say pro-Israel. Really, they should say pro-Israel slash anti-American groups are pumping $100 million, but they say millions, which makes the reader think maybe 1 or 2 million. Singling out progressives who have voiced criticism of the Israeli government and its relentless campaign in Gaza. Its relentless campaign. Well, could you say it's relentless genocide? Yes. Slaughter, yes. But they use the word campaign. AIPAC is betting that $100 million will be enough to fight back a wave of progressive dissent over Israel's war, not war, slaughter, genocide, in Gaza this election cycle. After investing heavily in the 2022 midterms, AIPAC is now doubling down on its electoral efforts. AIPAC and other pro-Israel groups, such as Democratic Majority for Israel, have already identified some high-profile targets in this year's congressional elections, including the New York Congressman Jamal Bowman, of course he's black, and the Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush, of course she's black. Progressive leaders have made clear that they will not go down without a fierce fight. An outrage over the war, no, slaughter, genocide in Gaza, which has killed more than 33,000 Palestinians, has rallied supporters to push back against pro-Israel, anti-American lobbying groups. The unexpected strength of the uncommitted primary campaign in states such as Michigan and Minnesota has underscored that Gaza is weighing heavily on the minds of progressive voters this election cycle. And Michigan and Minnesota have a lot of Muslims there. And their mobilization could complicate campaign efforts by groups like AIPAC. But combating $100 million is no easy task. And progressives will need to use every possible resource to protect some of their most vulnerable candidates. Although AIPAC's roots trace back to the 1950s, the group spent decades focusing most of its attention on lobbying members of Congress, only getting directly involved in races in the past few years. In late 2021, AIPAC announced the formation of a political action committee known as AIPAC PAC and a Super PAC. The, listen to this name, it's beautiful, United Democracy Project. See, the Jews hide behind all of these, you know, words like democracy and all that stuff, to get more directly involved in congressional campaigns. So AIPAC was never a PAC, even though it sounds like a PAC, but they were just like a quarterback. They would decide who or which PACs actually got the money that they raised and then said, here, we're going to give you. See, that's how the sneaky Jew does it. They don't directly do it, so they can't be accused. They give it to these other small entities to dole it out. And we all know, of course, what Cynthia McKinney said when I interviewed her and what she said to, I think it was Press TV, years before I interviewed her, about how she was expected to sign a Pledge of Allegiance to Israel in order to get money. That's how it works. You know, like I said, we've known about this for decades. The groups hit the ground running in the 2022 midterms, spending nearly $50 million across the election cycle. AIPAC boasts that it supported 365 pro-Israel, that's anti-American, candidates from both parties in 2022. While critics condemn the group's endorsement of dozens of Republicans who voted against certifying the results of the 2020 presidential election. So they boasted that they support 365. So what, there's 435 in the House and 100 senators. That's 535, right? So let's do the math. 535 minus 365, that leaves 170. So they didn't support 170, probably because they didn't have to, because those traitors were so pro-Israel slash anti-American that they didn't even have to put any money to them. When AIPAC doesn't need to spend any money, we know we're screwed. Although AIPAC endorses prominent members of both parties, its extensive work specifically targeting progressive Democrats in primary campaigns has become a source of intense ire on the left. In 2022, United Democracy Project, we talked about that before, UDP, the super PAC affiliated with AIPAC, spent $4.2 million against the former Democratic Congresswoman Donna Edwards of Maryland, and another $1.7 million in support of her more centrist opponent, Glenn Ivey. The group invested another $3.9 million in support of Democratic Congresswoman Haley Stevens's primary campaign against fellow Democratic incumbent Andy Levin, who faced an additional $342,000 in negative advertising from UDP. Edwards and Levin lost their primaries. So the ones they targeted, the ones these anti-American garbage entity targeted, they lost. That doesn't mean it works all the time. Even in 2022, the group's electoral success was mixed. Here you go. UDP spent $3.3 million opposing progressive state representative Summer Lee, while the group and DMFI, and that was that other organization that they talked about, Democratic Majority for Israel, but they didn't abbreviate it there, which is pretty annoying. DMFI collectively poured another $1.1 million into propping up her opponent, lawyer and activist Steve Irwin. UDP also spent $2.7 million supporting the Michigan State Senator Adam Hollier's House bid, while hitting his opponent, State Representative Shri Thanadar, who had co-sponsored legislation calling for an end to aid to Israel. With $1.4 million in negative advertising, Lee and Thanadar emerged victorious in their primaries and went on to win House seats. And this is in parentheses. Thanadar has since courted pro-Israel, anti-American interests, traveling to Israel with an AIPAC-affiliated group, and repeatedly affirming his support for Israel's camp campaign, not slaughter, not genocide, campaign in Gaza following Hamas's 7 October attack. So our good friend here, that is Shri Thanadar, he had co-sponsored legislation calling for an end to aid to Israel. But then somehow he has since courted pro-Israel interests. He even went to Israel. And I'm sure he went to that wall and, you know, did the thing there. So they just bought him off. And he might have even proposed that legislation or co-sponsored that legislation calling for an end to aid to Israel to squeeze money out of the Jew. And I think Churchill did that same thing with that article. This year, pro-Israel groups have already gotten involved in other primaries against members of the Progressive Squad in Congress. AIPAC PAC has endorsed George Latimer, who is running against the New York Congressman Jamal, that's with two A's, three A's, but two A's at the end, Jamal Bowman and Wesley Bell, who is attempting to unseat the Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush. But as the war, now they're saying war, not a campaign, it's a war now. It's not a slaughter, massacre, or genocide, it's a war. But as the war, and see, this is why these articles are, the only thing they're good for is to see what these assholes are saying. But as the war in Gaza has stretched on and the Palestinian death toll is mounted, progressive, what the hell is that anyway? Progressive, right? Progressive voters' outrage over pro-Israel groups' activities has escalated as well. And their support for progressive candidates could disrupt AIPAC's plans for this cycle. For this cycle. UDP, that's that United Democracy Project, has already suffered one high-profile loss this election cycle. The group poured $4.6 million into negative advertising against the California State Senator David Min, who was viewed as a surprising target for AIPAC, given his relatively few mentions of the war in Gaza in his campaign appearances. Last month, so this is March, Min defeated AIPAC's preferred candidate, listen to this name, the lawyer and activist Joanna Weiss, by 6.6 points to advance to the general election. I think they kind of tried to meddle in Min's primary to show their strength, and they got beat there, said Nicholas Gavio, Mid-Atlantic Communications Director for the Progressive Working Families Party. I think it shows that it's a tough battle, and if pro-Israel groups mess around with these races, they're going to lose a lot. The early loss in the Min race does not appear to have dissuaded AIPAC or its donors. No, because Jews don't give up. According to the group's newly released financial disclosures, AIPAC raised $3.8 million in March, its second most lucrative month in the 2023 to 24 campaign season so far. AIPAC has raised $31.8 million this cycle. UDP has raised $49 million. So they have a little graph here. UDP, that United Democracy Project, raised about $50 million, spent about $20 million. DMFI, that piece of shit, raised about $4 million, spent about $1 million. APAC raised $32 million, spent about $31 million. And J Street PAC, those are those scumbags who pretend that they're anti-Zionist, anti-Israel. J Street PAC raised about $5 million, and they spent about $5 million. Meanwhile, an effort has taken hold to counter APAC's bid, backed by a coalition of progressive groups, including the Sunrise Movement, the political arm of Jewish Voice for Peace, and Justice Democrats, a PAC supporting progressive congressional campaigns. Of course, I interviewed the head of Jewish Voice for Peace twice, and she got in trouble when they found out that I interviewed her. Good for her. The group called Reject APAC, I like that name, announced last month plans to organize members of Congress to disavow the pro-Israel group and to fundraise on behalf of progressive members facing APAC-backed primary opponents. Reject APAC made its case in a splashy explainer video released on April 11th and narrated by the actor Wallace Shawn, I have no idea who that is, who telegraphs the group's message that, quote, APAC's only remaining tactic is to silence Democratic incumbents with multi-million dollar primaries funded by Republican dark money. Public opinion is not in their favor, said Usama Andrabi, communications director for Justice Democrats. They are far right and they have no place in the Democratic Party. And that's why the only way that they can put themselves in the Democratic Party is by spending millions and millions of dollars threatening anyone who speaks out against the Israeli government or military. In November, the House of Representatives, took the extraordinary step of censoring Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, T-L-A-I-B, a Democrat of Michigan and the only Palestinian-American member of Congress, over her comments on the war in Gaza. 22 Democrats joined 212 Republicans in supporting the measure. Such a rebuke could have hurt her re-election prospects, but the censure appears to have instead outraged and invigorated her progressive supporters. In the last quarter of 2023, she raised nearly $3.7 million, according to FEC filings. She built on that impressive haul in the first quarter of this year, raising nearly $2 million more, bringing her total to over $6.5 million. Progressive organizers, now you see, it's actually a good thing, this article, because it's long. So, one article, if somebody can actually read it, is good, because you get a lot of information just from one article. Even though there's a lot of shit you have to go through, it's really good. Progressive organizers point to her fundraising prowess as further proof that squad members' criticism of the Netanyahu government is not a liability, but an asset this election cycle. Pro-Israel groups are deeply out of step with Democratic voters. And I think we're going to see that throughout this cycle, Andrabi said. We are a movement that is not just progressives. This is the core of the Democratic base that is speaking up and saying, we support candidates who support a ceasefire. Polls show that calls for a ceasefire attract widespread support from across the political spectrum. According to an Economist YouGov survey conducted this month, and that was, of course, in April, 65% of U.S. adults support an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. So that right there, if polls are to be believed, and that number is accurate, that's just another example of how our quote-unquote representatives could give two shits about what we think. They'll do whatever the Jew wants. That figure includes 80% of Democrats, 59% of independents, and 55% of Republicans. Voters opposed to the war have mobilized around a campaign to abandon that old piece of shit in the White House, Biden, during the Democratic campaign, registering their anger by choosing the uncommitted ballot option in Michigan's March primary, and organizing similar campaigns in the following primaries. More than 100,000 Michigan voters ultimately voted uncommitted, giving the campaign two delegate votes at the Democratic National Convention this summer. That's interesting. 100,000 voted uncommitted because they didn't want to vote for that old piece of shit. And by the way, that Democratic National Convention this summer is Monday, August 19 through Thursday, August 22nd. And it's in Chicago. And that's where I think that all fell apart in 1968 at that convention. The campaign's strong performance in subsequent states has brought its delegate haul up to 27. During the Michigan primary, Tlaib, if that's how you say her name, who cast a ballot in her district in the Detroit suburbs, endorsed the protest vote and encouraged others to do the same. These representatives that have taken these bold stances a couple of months ago are now in the mainstream of the Democratic Party, Gavio said. You have the President of the United States, a pretty moderate Democrat, yeah, calling for a ceasefire, and I think Democratic voters see that. That shift in the public opinion has made AIPAC support somewhat of a Trojan horse for Democratic candidates. In February, Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher, a Democrat of Texas, accused her primary opponent of sending fake texts from her campaign touting AIPAC's endorsement of her reelection effort. Her opponent, the progressive candidate Pervez Agwan, denied the allegations, but the incident underscored how AIPAC's endorsement could be used as a weapon in Democratic primaries. AIPAC PAC appears to be well aware of this dynamic, which is why its negative campaign advertising against progressives generally does not highlight the candidate's views on Israel. Instead, the group's ads mostly focus on other aspects of the candidates' biographies and platforms. In Min's primary, that's that state senator from California, the attack ads against him focused on his arrest for drunk driving last year. When UDP got involved in Lee's primary, Lee's 2022 primary, the group's ads did not mention her views on Israel, but rather accused her of undermining Biden's agenda. That's a joke. doesn't even know what that means. And the broader mission of the Democratic Party this time around, UDP has stayed out of Lee's primary. That's that Summer Lee lady. Vicious. Even though she faces a challenge from local council member Bhavini Patel. Listen to all these names, man. This isn't even America anymore. Instead, another group, oh boy, listen to this name, Moderate PAC, has gotten involved in Lee's primary, which will be held on Tuesday. That was, again, this was in April. The group, which is largely funded by billionaire businessman and Republican mega donor Jeffrey Yass, okay? Y-A-S-S. Yass was, and this isn't in the article, I'm reading this from Zyopedia. Yass was born in 1958 in Queens, New York City, and grew up there in a middle-class Jewish family. There you go. Another Jew. Jeffrey Yass, this is why we're screwed, has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on ads accusing Lee of, quote, opposing Joe Biden and attempting to dismantle the Democratic Party. Oh, boy. Hold on a second here. Oh, boy, I got a minute. Maybe I could finish it. It's almost over. I'll read fast. A constellation of progressive groups, including the Working Families Party and Justice Democrats, have come to Lee's aid to counteract Moderate PAC. In addition to Lee's campaign, which has raised more than $2 million ahead of her April 23rd primary, progressive, and we'll find out what happened, progressive outside groups have spent a little more than $700,000 in support of the incumbent progressive. In contrast, Patel's campaign has raised about $600,000 and benefited from a similar influx of outside spending by Moderate PAC. Although UDP and DMFI are not getting directly involved in Lee's race, progressives still view her primary as a key test heading into the rest of the election season. What we're seeing is Republican billionaires using super PACs as vehicles to spend in Democratic primaries against mostly black and brown progressives, Andrabi said. No one has ever tried to spend $100 million in Democratic primaries for Congress ever. These are likely going to be some of the most expensive Democratic congressional primaries we've ever seen. And it is only that way because these candidates, be it George Latimer or Wesley Bell or Bhavini Patel, cannot stand on their own. Okay. Yes, I almost made it, but it is it's 1 o'clock Central Time, which is the time zone I'm in. And I finished it. I finished the article, which is great. About APAC spending $100 million to knock out these people who are not pro-Jew enough. And this is Dave Gaharry of the Dave Gaharry Call-In Show on speakfreeradio.com. And thank you for putting up with... That's just one article. Think about it. Now, Elizabeth was on just for a short while asking that question. And look at how long it took to read one article. So, could you imagine all the work, all the reading work that goes into becoming proficient on this topic? And SFR has all of these hosts who are very proficient on this. It requires a lot of discipline, a lot of drive. For me, a lot of anger because it pisses me off that they get away with it. And it's just a shame. So you need to spend time learning this stuff. And you need to read. You just need to read. Stop fucking around on your phone. And get if you're watching the TV, don't. Just get away from it and just read. Because that's how we are going to overthrow the government. Elizabeth wanted to know how could we overthrow the government. Well, first, What we have to do is we have to learn. And she sent me something called Overthrow the Government by that creature, Arianna Huffington. It's a book by her. So she doesn't advocate violence, but hey, just learn this stuff and then that answer will appear. So let's find out about this Summer Lee, shall we? Okay. And let me get to that. Summer Lee. Let's see what happened to her. Like I said, she is a nasty person. I've seen her in these congressional hearings. Very, very nasty. Okay, let's see what happened here. Summer Lynn Lee, born in 87. Okay, she is the U.S. representative for Pennsylvania, one of the districts, since 2023. She was a member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives from 2019 to 2022, with the support of the local chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. Lee was the first black woman to represent southwestern Pennsylvania in the state legislature. She was the Democratic nominee in the 2022 election to represent Pennsylvania's 12th congressional district in the U.S. House. She won the primary by less than 1% of the vote and became the first black woman from Pennsylvania, the House of Representatives, after winning the general election. Okay, she's a lawyer. All right, let's get to AIPAC. Okay, what we just read about. All right. Here it is. In 2024, Lee faced a primary challenge from that councilman, Bhavini Patel, who is running to the political right of Lee, amid concerns at her criticism of Israel, Reed, Jew, could cost her renomination in a district with a significant Jewish population. Lee cultivated endorsements from prominent Democrats, including House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, that guy's dangerous, and Senator Bob Casey Jr. The race between Lee and Patel, who is pro-Israel. I am Patel, but I am very pro-Israel. I would like you to know that. I just love Jews. They're perfect. Was seen, they wanted to say as a bellwether, but they put was seen a bellwether. You could say that. Was seen a bellwether for other primary races where pro-Israel candidates are challenging progressive Israel critical incumbents. Ultimately, Lee defeated Patel. So Lee defeated Patel. And here's the article, April 23rd in Politico. Summer Lee of the squad beats back primary challenge. Although it was not the only factor in the race, the Israel-Hamas war, all these asshole publications are going to say war, undoubtedly hovered over the contest. So let's see how she beat Patel. Let us see what she did to that poor Patel. Okay. So I'm not going to read this whole... Well, actually, it's not that long. Democratic Representative Summer Lee, the first member of the Progressive Squad to face a primary challenger this cycle, successfully fended off her opponent in her Pittsburgh-based district on Tuesday. And this was less than 2 months ago. Although it was not the only factor in the race, the Israel-Hamas war undoubtedly hovered over the contest. Lee has been an outspoken critic of Israel's actions in its war with Hamas and was among the first lawmakers to call for a ceasefire. She was seen as potentially vulnerable to a primary challenge, when pro-Israel, that's anti-American, groups began to threaten heavy outside spending. But that spending never materialized against Lee. And she defeated Bhavini Patel, a local council member in Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District. After putting in millions of dollars opposing Lee in the midterms and vowing to drop $100 million targeting candidates the group views as anti-Israel, that means pro-American, this cycle, AIPAC stayed out of the contest this time around. So they probably felt it would do no good. Hold on to the money, beat somebody else, Jews. Such spending would have benefited Patel, whom Lee vastly outraised and outspent, although it would have only fueled the criticisms from Lee's campaign that Republican donors were meddling in the race. Some of AIPAC's most prominent donors are Republicans, though notable Democrats also give to the group. Lee also earned high-profile endorsements during this campaign. Patel did receive some support from Moderate PAC, a group heavily funded by GOP. That's that Jew, Jeff Yass, a billionaire who grew up in Queens as a Jew, because he is a Jew. And Jared Golden, that sounds like another Jew name, in Maine. Group spent more than $500,000 on this race. The group accused Lee of not fully supporting Biden. That's all I'm going to say, not President and Joe, in the critical battleground state, echoing criticisms Patel centered in her messaging. Shit, I don't even know. Is Patel a man or I have no idea. I don't even see. That's the thing, man. We know from like regular American names, English names. We generally know what the set here. What the hell is that? I have no idea, and I don't care. Echoing criticisms, Patel centered in her messaging. And that AIPAC deployed in its efforts to defeat Lee in 2022. Lee pushed back on those accusations. So she blah, blah, blah. Okay. So we already mentioned Jamal Bowman. Okay. And Lee is poised to cruise to victory come the fall in the deep blue district, because there's a lot of Jew there, when she'll face Republican James Hayes. Another incumbent also survived a primary challenge on Tuesday across the state in Pennsylvania's 1st Congressional District. Republican Representative Brian Fitzpatrick easily won his primary over Mark Houck, an anti-abortion activist who ran to the right of the incumbent. Democrats are still targeting this seat, where Fitzpatrick will face repeat candidate Ashley, I don't even know how to say the name, EHASZ, in the fall. The seat will be difficult for Democrats to flip with the incumbent returning. So let's just, for the hell of it, find out about this Bhavini Patel. What this is? Is this a man or a woman? It's a woman. Bhavini Patel. Bhavini Patel for Congress. Yes, so there you go. There's Bhavini. She seems very nice. But AIPAC did not win. And that's good. So where we started was with Jamal Bowman. And we're going to get to that after. This is a short article. I'm glad we read that. I read that first one first from April, because that really set the stage for this article. And this stuff is really important, obviously, because when we read these types of articles, we can really predict the future, because the answers are in the articles. And we just have to spend the time, you know, you have to be dedicated to, and that's why the founding fathers always said that, you know, an educated electorate is what's going to keep this country healthy. And that's the problem, that most of these Americans are, you know. We got Jimmy here. Jimmy from the beautiful city of St. Louis. How are you, Jimmy?
Dave, I'm okay. How you doing, man?
I'm okay, buddy.
I just got here about 15 minutes ago. It's nice hearing you read. But, hey, did you hear any news about David Duke was supposed to be arrested or something?
No, for what?
No, good. Yeah, a friend of mine texted me something and said something like that. And then he also said Netanyahu killed himself, and I was so happy. But turns out it's just a psychiatrist. So this guy isn't knowing what he's talking about.
No, I didn't hear anything about Dave. I did hear that one of the agitators at Charlottesville has passed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this guy who called himself Asmodor, Robert Warren Ray, he passed, and he was in his 50s. I haven't been able to find anything about it, but I heard it on Flood. And so this guy is in Kessler's book on Charlottesville. So he did, what he did was he allowed his contribution to Charlottesville is he, with his rhetoric, he allowed the Jews to get in front of a jury of ignorant Americans and convince them that, you know, the Charlottesville protesters were not basically Nazis. So,
yeah, we know the truth. Everything they say is a lie.
And, absolutely, of course.
And we tell the truth. That's it.
That's why they hate us.
Hey, I think the article was they were saying something on in the New York Post about David Duke is some people were, I guess it was some leftists that were arrested, and they were trying to say, oh, David Duke is aligned with them. And I thought, man, that's okay. You know, and they had a big KKK, like wizard story about David Duke along with these leftists, like as if the leftists, are with the KKK. And so it's good because, you know, they'll learn the truth. The leftists will learn the truth that, you know, David Duke is a great guy as soon as they look into it. And hopefully they do. And that'll help. So that's just they can't win, man. The truth is going to keep putting them in the position to make laws and all this stuff, have people arrested, whatever. And, you know, for one, I know you ain't taking it.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, no, it's just, go ahead, buddy, I'm sorry.
No, I said I'm not taking it either.
Yeah, I know you're not. Here's an article in The New Republic, right? Are you familiar with that thing, The New Republic?
Not really, no.
Yeah, so The New Republic, Ted Cruz's totally outrageous proof that the KKK loves Democrats. Ted Cruz wouldn't be a conservative if he wasn't adept at historical revisionism. Jimmy, what's wrong with historical revisionism? Is there anything wrong with it?
No, it's just, why would it be wrong to look into anything? You know?
I guess the New Republic, has a problem with it. So, you know, that's the power of language, right? So, you know, you have these people reading shit like this, and then they associate that one sentence, Ted Cruz wouldn't be a conservative if he wasn't adept at historical revisionism. And you would think, oh, historical revisionism is bad, and it's associated with Republicans, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this. On Monday, he shared, and this is yesterday, he shared an absurd piece by right-wing tabloid New York Post attempting to align pro-Palestine protests with Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard and I don't know what this means, melting racist gremlin David Duke. What does that mean, melting racist gremlin? Any idea?
No, but maybe KKK now stands for kosher kinky kooks.
Yeah, exactly. Cruz wrote boastfully on X, Democrats founded the Klan, and now the Klan is backing the Democrats. And they got Dukester there. New York Post KKK Grand Wizard David Duke sides with anti-Israel protesters. So they're using Duke now to, you know, advance whatever agenda they have. You know, the melting racist gremlin, whatever that means. I never heard him called a melting racist gremlin. I guess we're going to talk about that this Sunday, though, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing good, though, you know, yeah.
I think he's good. I think I haven't talked to him since Sunday, but it's only Tuesday. I think he's probably doing his shows. He's doing the same thing he always does, right? He gets up and studies and does his shows. So
yeah, did you find out what was all that about? Where, you know, he went down there and the whole thing was canceled, and how'd that happen?
Yeah, did you hear the full show on Sunday?
No, I got here like about 20 minutes ago.
No, not this one. I mean the show on Sunday.
Yeah, well, Sunday I did.
I didn't
catch exactly. I know. Okay, yeah, that, I remember hearing that they, you know, shut it down or anything, but I was just wondering if there, like, how could they do that?
Well, because they supposedly used a third party to book the event. And that third party was like some sort of a film production company. And so that it didn't tip them off that it was this clown Fuentes and the clowns that follow him. So, you know, if they would have went in and said, yeah, this is the AFPAC, right? Mm-hmm. Then they would have said no. If they did a Google search, right? Because that's what they do. And of course, just like Congress has AIPAC guys, positioned in every office, AIPAC guys, Jews, are positioned pretty much everywhere. So, or they're spying on everywhere. And so that's why they get these things canceled. I remember a couple of years ago, one guy in Texas wanted to put on a USS Liberty event for me and one of the survivors, and invited a bunch of other people like Christopher Bolin and John Stattmiller from RBN and a bunch of other speakers. And it would have been in a nice hotel right on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, really beautiful. And literally, like, you know, a short time before we were supposed to go there, maybe the day before, they canceled it. And we had to find another place. So, you know, you can't even talk about the USS Liberty. These kikes are everywhere. And they are stopping the discussion of, in this case, you know, the most highly decorated ship in the history of the U.S. Navy. So if people don't hate Jews at this point, after knowing about that, then we can't help them, Jimmy.
You know, if somebody has it on the record where all these politicians that are running or already in and just sits down and says, hey, look, can you take a look at this information? And it's, you know, all about Jew stuff. And, you know, make sure that they, you know, it's like they've been, you know, shown it at least. They can't wiggle out of it and say it's just BS or something. I mean, it seems like it has to be brought to them, and they have to denounce it, you know, like Jews would, or face the truth about it, you know, and you know, like this guy Macy in Kentucky. I mean, you know, it's like maybe, yeah, I should call him and ask him, like, you know, how do you get your constituents to, support you? As, you know, being the only guy, you know, against everything the Jews want. And maybe that would help, but.
Well, my congressman.
That's my phone. That's sorry, okay. About
that. Yeah, that's all right.
That's just a phone.
Oh, it is?
It barks when it rings, and it's got a, what else? It's got a, the the crickets when it gets text, you know, so that's it. I don't really have a dog, but I love German Shepherds.
Yeah. Yes, I had one. Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I met with my congressman a couple of times, Matt Gaetz, who's pretty well known now.
Yeah.
And I talked to him for a while, you know, at this event. And I gave him a copy of the book I wrote on the USS Liberty. That was years ago.
Wow.
So, no, they probably, you know, Gaetz is smart, but, you know, if he read it, he didn't, you know, contact me. He didn't reach out to me.
Right.
I mean, it's why would they want to? Why would they want to expose themselves for the USS Liberty?
Yeah.
They wouldn't. Yeah, they wouldn't want to do that. So there's no upside to it.
So you think we're just like waiting for the day when they all turn on the Jews? Like everybody has to or something? I don't know.
I think that it's going to happen, but, you know, it has to, you know, play out. It has to run its course. You know, it's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. And we'll get there. I mean, shit, we're getting there now. So we're doing great, man. I mean,
yeah, look, it is.
Yeah, this type of stuff is, you know, is discussed now. Before it never was, but it is now. So, like I said, that interview with Candace Owen that she did with you know, that lady who was fired from The Hill. That was great. You know, the only thing that was messed up was, of course, that they believe in the hoax. But, yeah. You know, anybody could go to YouTube and go to that lady's page, Candace Owens, and this was done 3 days ago, it says. So it's got 500,000 views, right?
Yeah, I looked at that. I saw that,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, I like to hear what Candace Owens has to say.
Yeah, we got to help Candace Owens.
Yeah.
We got to help her get, you know, more knowledgeable. And that piece of shit Don Lemon interviewed that Breonna Joy Gray. So, you know, these people, I don't know about Candace Owen or Owens, however you say her name.
I wouldn't doubt it if Lemon has a Jewish husband. You know?
Yeah, right. But they hate whites. So, you know, that's the weird thing, right?
They're that's on one thing they now. Have in common. You're right. They
exactly.
They both hate whites. And
then,
you know, even here in last week, Kamathi saying that, you know, he can't really tell the difference between the whites and the Jews. And, you know, I understand he can't, but I can. I mean, I get caught off guard not knowing him sometimes, but I pick him out pretty good. And I can understand why he can't, but you know, it's,
I don't know.
I'm glad he's on our side and I'm going to, you know, listen to him and got his book and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully it keeps, because, I mean, you see these blacks, man. I mean, you know, I had a problem with blacks this week and I'm doing some work on the street and I got blacks coming by me. Hey, what's up? Yeah, happy Father's Day. And then can you bless me with a dollar? You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, after they break some doors and run into some stuff, it's just it's a mess down here in St. Louis. I mean, it's you know, 60% of the drivers don't have insurance. And it's a real mess. I mean, and then, you know, I was talking to a girl, or I was, you know, chatting with the girl that's for reparations on his show. And I said, well, what about the 30,000 a year rapes that happen that's black on white, and you can't find one white man that raped a black girl in a year? And I said, are white people entitled to compensation, reparations for their for the blacks? And no.
Good.
What she's saying, you know, she's out of her mind. some
yeah.
But yeah, it's still like, you know, like there is no group of people on this planet that's like the Jews that do what they do and are evil like they are. I mean, I can deal with anybody on the planet pretty much, you know, and then, you know, some people are compatible and some people aren't, you know, but most of them aren't. But I mean, it's got to get back to the, you know, white countries for white people, you know, majority, you know, at least. And yeah, I just finished up that movie last night, Europa. Yes. And yeah, that girl from Red Ice really brings the point home about that. And but yeah, it's just,
it's got to be like when we grew up here, what it was like.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Yeah, they took that away from us without asking us if they could.
Sure.
Yeah, they need to pay the price for that. So
yeah.
You know, how they are going to pay the price, I don't know, but they definitely need to pay the price. There needs to be retribution.
Yeah, and they're going forward with it anyway. You know, like, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's their attitude. Like, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. We got all the power.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. That's what I was talking about earlier with the polls showing, you know, a clear majority want a ceasefire of the genocide. But it doesn't matter what, you know, the majority wants or anybody wants. What matters is what the Jew wants. And the Jew dictates. I don't know if you tuned in, Jimmy, when I was talking about the Foreign Agents Registration Act.
No, I didn't catch that today.
Yeah, so that really is something that should be pushed. And I think it's going to happen because this American Zionist entity, American Zionist Council, they were about to be forced to organize or to be recognized as a foreign agent. And that's when they transformed into AIPAC. But they went after them again in 88 and they almost got them. But the Jew used their pressure, as we know what that is, to prevent them from being read. Of course, they're a foreign agent.
Yeah.
It's a joke. They advocate for a foreign government. And that's because the Department of Justice is not a Department of Justice. It's a bureaucracy controlled by the Jew and by big money. And because something like 43% of all U.S. billionaires are Jew, this is where you get it from.
Yeah,
the money controls this shit.
Yeah, how could 1% of the planet even want to control 96% of the media?
Exactly. Right.
What the heck is...
But you know that, right?
Yeah.
But Mr. and Mrs. Sleepwalker out there in St. Louis, they don't know shit.
I know.
Yeah, you could go door to... Shit, forget about it. Go to the Arch, right?
Right.
Hang out at the Arch all day and ask these people, hey, do you know what percentage of the planet controls 96% of the media? Is that a trick question?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know shit, man. They don't know anything, and they're probably never going to know anything. That's the problem.
Well,
that's
the problem. It's good against evil. I know that.
It is.
And we're good.
We are good. You're right.
You are, buddy. Hey, well, I'll let you go. Go ahead. Buddy.
Hey, Jimmy, always great to hear your voice, man.
All right. Have a good one, man. See
you. You too, Jimmy. All right. Jimmy's a great guy from St. Louis, and he checks in at the Dave and Duke Call-In Show and other shows on Speak Free Radio. He actually gets the material to read and to learn. So that's very good. And that's what has to be done. And once you have that knowledge, then you can do anything, basically. Anything you want. Okay, so let's talk about the calendar. Let's take a look at the calendar here. So today is the 18th, and next week is the 25th, right? So we're going to be heading out the next day, the 26th, to drive to Kentucky for that JP conference. JP stands for Jewish Problem. So the Jewish Problem Conference. And it's not really a conference that's going to be attended by a lot of folks, but it's going to be streamed. So you'll be able to see it. We're going to see if we could stream it on SFR somehow. I have to find out about that. But, yeah, so I will do the show next week, but I will be traveling for about a week or so. So the next day, the 27th, that's the show I do with G-Man, I'll be on the road. So I don't know yet if I can do the show. I might be able to do that. So we'll see about that. That's Thursday. And then Sunday, the Dukester show on the 30th, last day of the month. Last day of the month, last day of the second quarter and the middle of the year, June 30, I will be at that conference. And so the conference is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I mean, I could do it because the conference will be over, but it probably doesn't make sense because I'll be hanging out with the other speakers and, you know, attendees, special guests and organizers. So that might not happen. But again, anything can happen. So the conference might not come off. You never know. So we don't actually know if that's going to happen. Although it's supposed to, as we know, anything can happen, and it usually does. So there's a possibility that the Jew will find out, and, you know, the Jew will cancel it. So we'll see what happens. But that's the plan, the tentative plan right now for that week. So it really is amazing when you think about it, because it's already 1:35 Central Time. So let's get back to the topic of the show, which is imaginary Jewish power. And let's get back to that May 20 article by The Guardian on Jamal Brown. So pro-Israel group pours millions into unseating New York progressive Jamal Bowman, not Brown Bowman. Super PAC has run ads opposing the congressman and supporting his opponent as he criticizes Israel's military campaign in Gaza. There we go again. A super PAC, which we learned all about that, right? The United Democracy Project, UDP. Super PAC affiliated with AIPAC has revved up its campaign spending, pouring $2 million into a New York congressional primary to oppose the progressive incumbent Jamal Bowman. Now, we're going to find out about him right now. He looks like a nice guy. He was born April Fool's Day, 1976. Let's find out about Jamal, right? Okay. And there's an article that came out 2 days ago on The Hill. Bowman primary reignites civil war among Democrats. And in Axios yesterday, Israel divide between Bowman Torres erupts into feud. Okay. And there's an article in the New York Post yesterday. Black voters at odds with Jamal Bowman could help sink him. Yeah, right. Okay, let's find out about him. Okay. That's the guy who set off the fire alarm in the Cannon House office building. So he pled guilty last October to a misdemeanor for willfully setting off a false fire alarm. He should lose the race just for that. In exchange for his guilty plea, the charge was dropped. Would they do that for us? I don't think so. On December 7 of last year, the House voted 214 to 191 to censure him. Okay, so he was born in Manhattan, grew up with his grandmother, you know, because we know why that is. We know why a lot of blacks grow up with their grandmother, right? Okay, and let's find out here. His grandmother died when he was 8. Then he moved to Jersey, to Sayreville. I know that town. That's where John Bon Jovi's from. Been there plenty of times. Played on the football team there. Okay. And he was a teacher. All right. So let's find out about Bowman. The Justice Democrats recruited Bowman to run for the House, represented by or against 16-term incumbent Elliot Engel. Let's find out. Elliot is usually a Jew name. Yep. Born in the Bronx. Grandparents, Ukrainian Jews. Yep, there you go. They're everywhere. Okay. So, anyway, this guy won, obviously. So, he assumed office January 3rd, 2021. So, 3 days before the January 6th event. And oh my God, is he married to a Jew? Melissa Oppenheimer? Oh shit. Anyway, so this guy gets in, right? Let's find out. All right. So Westchester County Executive. So Westchester County is a rich county in New York. And former state senator George Latimer is challenging Bowman in the Democratic primary. The primary has become a target for the pro-Israel lobby since the incumbent Bowman has been one of the most outspoken opponents of U.S. support for Israel in the Israel-Hamas war. So this piece of shit Wikipedia already has a section, Israel-Hamas war, so they can brainwash the poor, dumb goyim into thinking that that it's an actual war. Okay, let's find out from that new article, okay? About this guy who's challenging him. This Representative Torres threatened to endorse Bowman's primary challenger after Bowman criticized his support for Israel. There you go. So everybody's getting on their knees to, you know, suck Israel's you-know-what, you know, and do whatever they want. But Bowman isn't. So even though Bowman is a socialist and he's black and he hates whites and that's what he was taught, There are some blacks who don't hate whites, of course. But, you know, I'm sure he does, right? The Justice Democrats, that's probably part of their platform. So let's get back to this article real quick because we had another caller. Campaign finance disclosures released this weekend, and that was in May, showed the Super PAC, United Democracy Project, UDP, spending on $1 million in support of Bowman's opponent, the moderate Democrat George Latimer, and $1 million in negative advertisements opposing Bowman. If the group succeeds in defeating Bowman, it will deliver a significant blow to the progressive wing of the House. They don't want Israel to be criticized. They don't want Israel to be held accountable. They don't want anyone to mention Palestine or speak up for Palestinian rights and lives, said Bowman during an interview with MSNBC on Saturday. In comparison, progressive groups including Justice Democrats and Working Families Party has spent less than $300,000 in support of Bowman and opposing Latimer. Latimer's campaign has similarly outpaced Bowman's in fundraising, with Latimer garnering more than $3.6 million and Bowman raising about $2.6 million so far. In an email to The Guardian, an AIPAC spokesperson previously described Latimer as a strong advocate for the U.S.-Israel relationship, in clear contrast to his opponent, who is aligned with the anti-Israel extremist fringe. That's going to change, pal. Bowman has sharply criticized Israel's military campaign in Gaza, and it was among the first of his colleagues to call for a ceasefire. Boy, that's horrible, calling for a ceasefire, huh? Notably, ads countering Bowman do not mention Israel at all. One ad from UDP accuses Bowman of having, quote, his own agenda, close quote, highlighting policy differences between the congressman and joke Biden. The heavily Democratic contested district with large numbers of black, Jewish and Latino constituents elected the progressive squad member Bowman in 2020 in an upset primary election in 2020. They could have just said that year. AIPAC's forays into campaigns represent a new avenue of political activism for the pro-Israel lobbying group, which until the 2022 election, we read this already, so by forming a super PAC, which can legally contribute unlimited amounts of money on advertisements and communications and races, AIPAC has been able to ramp up its influence. It planned to spend $100 million on campaigns this year and has so far targeted a wide and at times unexpected range of races with mixed results. In an Indiana congressional primary, UDP spent $1.6 million in a successful bid to stop the former Republican Congressman John Hostetler, an isolationist-leaning Republican who in the past made anti-Semitic remarks, from regaining a seat in the House. By the way, politicians were always, in America, were always in the past anti-Semitic, because who would not be? Why would anybody like a Jew in their country? That's like suicide. In a Maryland race, the Super PAC threw its support behind the Democratic candidate Sarah Elfrath, who beat the former U.S. Capitol police officer Harry Dunn. Neither Dunn, whose book about the J6 attack propelled him to national prominence, I don't even know who the hell he is, or Elfrath, a Maryland state senator, made comments about Israel-Gaza during the race. But candidates backed by pro-Israel groups have not succeeded in every race so far this year. UDP also dropped $4.6 million in a failed bid to stop David Min. We talked about him. So the moral of the story is the Jews are not going to win every time. And you can spend all the money in the world, but that is not a sure way to get what you want. So let's pull in a caller here. The caller is Stinky Patel.
Oh, hello, David. Dave Gahani, hi, very good. I am calling from Edison, New Jersey. How are you today?
It is very good for you to call in, my friend. Have you had your curry today?
Of course, I put a key in my hair. I stick the curry up my ass. I fuck the goat in the ass. It was very, very good, my friend. Very
that
good,
must smell friend. Very good, my good man.
Of course.
I love that. I will come and see you. Edison, that was where Thomas Edison once had his headquarters and laboratory. Is that right? We have taken that city over, haven't we?
Yeah, sure did.
Fuck.
I remember going there in school, right? You know, we went in like maybe third grade or something like that, you know, to Edison's laboratories. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. I know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Menlo Park Mall and all those places.
Yes.
I used to go, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Sayersville used to be all Italians. Now we got niggers like Jabal Bowman over there.
Exactly. But we want him to win.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I enjoy seeing, because you know what? Like, that's the thing. I have to give black people credit on that. Like, they just don't give a fuck. Like, they're not like pussies that way.
Exactly.
Like white people, like, oh, I could get called an anti-Semite. Oh, right. What's everybody going to think of me? They're just like, yeah, fuck you, Jewish niggas. It's hilarious to me.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's important, you know, for folks to understand. That's why a lot, you know, there's a lot of folks who, you know, are bitching about, not a lot, but some folks are bitching about Io, right? Because he's black.
Right.
And he doesn't like whites. And he has a black message, right? Yeah, but he knows the Jew. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's important. Obviously, if we allow this poison to fester, then we're done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I was. I saw that. I remember earlier you were talking with Jimmy about. I saw that this morning on Daily Stormer that Asmodor died. I didn't really. I used to listen to the Crypto Report every once in a while, but I had wondered what happened to him. I hadn't heard from him for a while.
Yeah, he caused a lot of trouble in Charlottesville. He ramped up the, you know, the message, and it became much more aggressive because Kessler. You know, just his idea was just to literally unite the right and not bring all this Nazi imagery and all that. And Asmodor made sure that he did that. Let me see. We have enough time here. I can actually read, you know, a section from that book if you want on him.
Yeah, sure.
But go ahead. While I'm digging that up, go ahead and what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, just, you know, all this stuff is fun to see. You know, we got did you see that one last week with the colored gentleman in New York, in Jew York City, who told the Jews, "I wish Hitler was here to wipe you all." It's hilarious.
Oh shit! It's great.
They truly just don't give a shit. I love it. It's great.
No, they don't. And you know, they've always. I've said this always that the blacks are much more Jew-wise than the whites, and they always have been. And, you know, that's why we can't look. I don't hang out with blacks. I don't want to, right? They piss me off, okay? They're not like us. They hate us, right? But, I mean, we're in a war here. And
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, bite your lip, right? So, here, it says here in Kessler's book, his new book, Charlottesville and the Death of Free Speech, which you can get at dissident.press. A major flare-up involved an incendiary Daily Stormer contributor named Robert Asmodor. I don't know what that name means. Do you?
No, not particularly, no.
Yeah, Ray. So his name's Robert Ray.
Robert
right?
Ray, yeah.
Yeah, so his full name is Robert, here, I'll tell you. Robert Warren. Yeah, I don't know what it means. Robert Warren Ray. So let me just read this real quick. Okay. The speaker's list had already been conceived, and this is Kessler talking, and I was comfortable the speakers are going to stick to white identity and monuments issues without going into an embarrassing Third Reich-style rant about Jews. Osmodor came to me demanding he be allowed to speak at the rally. My concern was he would say and do things which would be an embarrassment to the more moderate individuals I wanted to welcome into the UTR coalition, like patriots, Confederate heritage supporters, and Trump voters. To give you an idea of how far off the reservation Osmodor was, he maintained his own Discord server, which he used to launch raids against the Charlottesville server. On his server, one cartoon Osmodor shared with his followers depicted a black slave bound and gagged in a metal torture device where he was anally sodomized to the delight of approving white slave masters. This was another example of evidence that came out after the fact during the civil trial. Something like that is cruel, sick, and has nothing to do with my politics, but it gives you an idea why I didn't want this man to be a speaker. Nevertheless, Osmodor was a major threat because I had no way of controlling who could show up and associate themselves with the event. He was threatening to bring his fans from the Daily Stormer and disrupt UTR with a bunch of Zig Heils and Nazi chants that I wanted nowhere near my event. Considering that this type of rhetoric still made it into the rally shows I was extremely naive about how much I could control the Overton window of expression at a public rally. So there's more in there about Osmodor, but unfortunately the filthy, disgusting, fat, probably sweaty, ugly, lesbian lawyer that Roberta Kaplan bitch. That bitch got all this money from all these big Jews.
Of course.
And she waged that successful legal suit against these poor bastards who went to Charlottesville. She was the bitch who argued in front of the Supreme Court to have DOMA overturned, the Defense of Marriage Act. So this ugly thing, this Jew, this nasty Jew is who latched on to shit that Osmodor did and used that in the trial against the Charlottesville protesters. And, of course, the fucking goyim, what do they know? They don't know shit. They don't even know how to spell Charlottesville. But because of the Jews media, they all believe, you know, Charlottesville bad, Kaplan good.
Of course. Well, yeah, I had a similar experience, and it wasn't a criminal case. About 20 years ago, some fucking Jew dragged me into court over some bullshit, and this Jew fucking lawyer did the same kind of thing to me. It wasn't a severe, like, you know, outcome. I ended up paying a bullshit minuscule fine and had to, you know, make a fake apology. But it's just it's the same thing that Jews do. That you give them a little bit of – they get any kind of ammunition, and then they just play that fucking card all the way through. And, of course, the judges are all Jews, and the fucking prosecutors are all Jews, and the attorneys are all fucking Jews. It's just ridiculous. It's all a rigged system.
Oh, absolutely. It is. But you can't – see, that's the thing, and that's why Kessler was pissed, and he's right. You got these people like Osmodor – who gave the Jews ammunition?
Yeah.
Without thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, I don't like Jews, but I'm not going to give them the ammunition they need for when they sue us, because that's what Jews do. They sue. So I could give a shit about Osmodor's. So I don't know him. I didn't know him. All I know is I know of him and what he did in relation to Charlottesville, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, him and Anglin were really tight. Apparently Anglin was on his podcast a lot. I mean, I thought the guy was entertaining, but again, like you said, there's a time to troll, and then there's a time to just, like, actually, like, state facts and look professional with the normies, because normies aren't going to, especially at that time, 7 years ago, people weren't, they weren't up to hear any of this shit.
No, no. So. And they don't know anything, and that's a problem. Right. So... you know, it's not going to benefit us by doing that, right?
No, of course not.
It's not going to benefit us by wearing Nazi armbands and Zig Heiling, you know, in public. I mean, what is that going to do? Is there a party? Is there like a, you know, National Socialist Party in America still? Is there a Nazi party? I don't know.
Well, I think there is, but it's not like people are lining up to join or anything.
No.
Like that. But the point is, when you want to get average, ordinary, dumbass normie's attention, that's not the way to do it.
No.
There's time and place for everything.
Exactly. So presenting it in, you know, a measured, even-handed way, you know, I think makes more sense. Like reading, I don't know how much of the show you caught today, but I spent a lot of time reading a couple of articles and commenting on them and tying them into stuff. You know, I think this is a, you know, the proper way to bring people up to speed on these matters instead of being incendiary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was hoping Lucas Gage would come on, but unfortunately, I guess he couldn't join us.
Yeah, he was burned out from the drive, and I took it easy on him. I'll get him in the future.
All right. Sounds good, Dave. Well, you know, you have a safe trip, and I'm looking forward to seeing the stream. Take care,
absolutely,
buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, brother.
All right, CB. Okay. That was CB, a very knowledgeable fella who, you know, listens to a lot of SFR, and he's generally on the Hoaxbusters. I heard him like last year. I didn't know who he was. I was like, wow, that guy knows a lot about this stuff, and I've gotten to know him a little bit, and really great guy. Anyone who understands this stuff the way that, for example, he does, you know, we need that, and we need to cultivate that, and we need to respect that, because that's what's going to get us out. That's what's going to get us out of this mess. That's what's going to allow us to overthrow the government. And that's how to do it. And there's the music, folks. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned into SFR for all the great shows following. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Speak Free Radio, the free speech internet radio platform.